my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1, 2, 3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 186 of my 1, 2, 3 cents, the podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening and sharing the show and getting the word out about My 1, 2, 3 Cents and the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, there are several great shows that you can listen to right here at Jittery Monkey, whether it's through your favorite podcasting app on iTunes or on jitterymonkey.com, the Jittery Monkey Facebook and Twitter pages as well. I encourage you, by the way, if you have not already, go check out Jittery Monkey on Facebook and give it a like. We are working hard to build that brand up as well as the My 1, 2, 3 Cents brand, Positive Cynicism, which is a show my good friend Chad Smart is the host of. And Chad had a very poignant episode very recently, and I know in podcast time, Chad's show especially, if you go back and listen to any of his shows, he doesn't put a quote-unquote time frame on his. But episode 46, the title is Dealing with Depression, and Chad talks about his own personal struggles now after recently being diagnosed with mild depression. So I encourage you to go and listen to that episode. And I know if you're listening the week this podcast, this My 1, 2, 3 Cents podcast drops, Chad is going to have a very special guest on, or is planning to have a very special guest on. And that show should be dropping very soon as well. So be sure to go when you're on jitterymonkey.com on the right-hand side of the four columns there, the Positive Cynicism page you will see. You will also see the Nerds United page as well as Five Heart Podcast, which is all about Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. Greg Mahochko, the co-founder of Jittery Monkey, has built quite a podcasting dynasty, and I am proud to be a part of it. And I appreciate, again, your support. Other friends out there with podcasts that I would hope you'd check out. The 10 Count Blog is a blog and podcast by Jason Tiller. He's one half of the Midwest Monster Hunters. I recently discovered that podcast after meeting Jason. He is part of the Stride Pro Wrestling roster right now and a former co-holder of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championships with Bo Sawyer. So check out Jason's stuff. He is on Twitter and Facebook as well. Again, it's called the 10 Count Podcast, or 10 Count Blog, and it's part of a podcast and blog. Of course, my friends over in Cape Girardeau, the Podzilla 1985 network, going on with Pro Wrestling Unscripted and the many other shows that they host. And I mostly listen to Pro Wrestling Unscripted, but they have several other great shows that I would encourage you to check out. Tom and Jim's Top 5, which actually spurred a segment here on My 1, 2, 3 Cents called Our Six Cents. Chad and I take a topic in wrestling and share our six favorite parts about that, or moments, or whatever, however we pick it. We've done Kane, our six favorite Kane moments, the six superstars or wrestlers we would invite to Thanksgiving dinner. We haven't done one in a while, and I want to change that. So I'm looking for suggestions. What would you like to hear on a future episode of Our Six Cents? Chad and I, of course, will run down. And it can be six favorite moments of a superstar. It could be six favorite WrestleMania. You know, anything in that realm. Make it creative, though, and let me know. And Chad and I will definitely get together and do a show on that. Of course, there's also the Skullbuster WrestleCast. Tom Skull, again, who co-hosts the Tom and Jim's Top 5. He and his brother Jason have a great show. They've had me on before, and I appreciate that. But even if they hadn't had me on, I would still listen and support what they're doing. And I'm going to get to more on the Skulls here in a little bit in this episode, because it is Ask My 123 Cents and a couple of the other podcasts that I do listen to as well. So stay tuned for that. And I say it is an Ask My 123 Cents week because, for those who don't know, my day job, if you will, is that of a TV news anchor. I co-anchor a morning newscast in Southern Illinois. This week, or this past week in particular, has been kind of a crazy one for me work-wise. And I have literally worked every shift this week, not all on the same day, of course, but throughout the course of the week. So pinning down a guest and setting up a time to do that has just been impossible. And so I'm just kind of taking the easy way out and answering some questions from Ask My 123 Cents. And I like doing these as well. I kind of get to connect, reconnect with some of the listeners of the show and do some shout outs. So I appreciate the fact that folks are asking questions and asking legitimate questions. Sometimes I get some of the crazy, silly questions, but some great quality questions. So I will be tackling those in just a moment, but also want to thank again everyone who has been very supportive of My 123 Cents over the last almost 8 years now. The My 123 Cents blog, of course, starting in September of 2010, and then things have just kind of grown and built from there. And part of that support comes through some of the affiliates that I am a part of. Amazon is one of them. Funko Pops. If you are into the Funko Pops, I would encourage you to click the link on the tag team partner page of my123cents.com. You can shop for your Funkos. You don't pay any extra. You do your regular shopping, and then a portion of that goes to my123cents to keep things going here, as well as a company called manscaped.com. If you you know, take care of your boys down below, why not do it with Manscaped? So check out what Manscaped is all about as well. Again, this is all on the tag team section. And of course, there's also Collar and Elbow. The Collar and Elbow brand has been great. I love their t-shirts, and they've got some other great things, great lineups, and some new shirts as well. The G.I. Joe one I really like, and the Canada, the tribute to Canada. So be sure, again, if you don't mind, checking out those segments as well, sections of the website. And again, I thank you for your support. And one other venture that I've just recently gotten into is another round with Tom and Kevin, my buddy Tom Harness, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. We do a Facebook Live, and then we strip the audio down and make it into a podcast. I say we. He does all the work. I just show up and look good. Mickey James was by far, so far, our most popular guest, so be sure to check it out. We put links on our own Facebook pages, whether it's Harness Digital Marketing, My 123 Cents, or Craft Beerkins. We try to find different guests to fit those genres. Harness Digital Marketing is more of the social media side of things, so those guests go over there. I have the fitness and wrestling stuff over at My 123 Cents, and then Craft Beerkins, which we haven't had a beer guest yet, so we're going to work on that as well. But again, and be sure to check it out and support another round with Tom and Kevin. We're all over Twitter with all of that as well. So without any further ado, though, let's get to Ask My 123 Cents. And I posted the Ask My 123 Cents logo, if you will, on the Facebook page for My 123 Cents, as well as the Twitter page. And I figured, why not? Let's get to some questions and find out what people are saying, what people are thinking out there. And let's go with our first question, which comes from Adam Hackbarth, who asks, what happened with Tessa Blanchard in WWE, and why is she elsewhere now? Having her come in seemed like a no-brainer. Did she completely suck? No, she did not completely suck, or at least in my opinion, she did not completely suck. I think Tessa Blanchard is definitely one of those women out there that needs to be on the radar for WWE. I know she was a part of NXT very briefly, wrestling Alexa Bliss, and I know this was back in 2016. She didn't stick around very long. She was a part of the Mae Young Classic, was eliminated in round one. and has been a part of some dark matches in 2017. Now she is kind of, I believe she's doing some of the indie stuff, but she's also a part of Impact Wrestling. I would hope that she gets signed or gets looked at, gets another look from WWE. I think that as the NXT roster, you know, with the recent moves of some of the superstars going up to the main roster, it would be good. And I'll, you know, full disclosure, I have not watched NXT. I have not kept up with that in quite a while. So I know there's obviously still a lot of talent there, but I think that someone like Tessa Blanchard with her pedigree, you know, of course, her father is Tully Blanchard. Grandfather would be Joe Blanchard, and then her stepdad is Magnum TA. So there is three greats in the wrestling game right there. It seems like, as Adam said, it would be a no-brainer to bring her in. And I would almost venture to say you could bypass NXT, although WWE tends to like to send some of the lesser-known talents to get their ring work worked out in NXT. However, you know, who wouldn't want to see Charlotte Flair and Tessa Blanchard, whether it's as partnership or to feud? I think there's a lot of great legacies in WWE right now, and I think bringing Tessa Blanchard in would be another one of those to kind of complete that circle, especially now that WWE is focusing so much more on the women's movement and having so many great and amazing women as a part of their roster and as a part of the show. And the Mae Young Classic, I believe, is cooking up again. So maybe we'll see another return for Tessa. I don't know. It would be great, though, if she were to be a part of that. Hunter Woodworth, who I have dubbed as Stride Pro Wrestling's super fan. He and his mom, Jamie, great supporters of Stride Pro Wrestling. He actually has two questions. The first one is, who is my favorite current WWE superstar or wrestler? On the roster right now who is actively wrestling, it would be Daniel Bryan. I love the fact that Daniel Bryan has been able to take everything WWE threw at him through the years and come out a better man, a better wrestler, a better superstar, a better performer, a better person. You know, he is the epitome, in my view, of taking chicken shit and turning it into chicken salad. He caught on fire with the fans, and, you know, I've talked about it before, still, one of my all-time favorite stories is the build from SummerSlam 2013 up to WrestleMania 30 when he lost the championship after winning it from John Cena at SummerSlam, losing it to Randy Orton on that Money in the Bank cash-in, to then that build up to WrestleMania 30 where he beat Batista and Randy Orton in the main event after beating Triple H in the opening match. And I know that there are some naysayers who will say that wasn't the original plan. That's fine. What we got is the finished product is what I care the most about. And when he had to retire, obviously his health and well-being were the most important things. Now that he's back, I'm happy. And I hope that he remains healthy and strong and can continue to be a WWE superstar, a performer and whatnot. Some of the other guys I really like, Zack Ryder, and not so much for what he's doing with the in-ring stuff. I love watching and following him on social media. And I think Zack Ryder is one of those guys who also made lemonade out of lemons, but still, for whatever reason, has not resonated and gotten over that hump, so to speak. I enjoy The Miz. I like what he's doing as well. And I'm also a big fan. He's not around. He hasn't been around in quite some time, and I don't think he'll be back, but Neville. And I do look forward to if and when he shows up on the independent scene once again. That kind of goes into the next question that Hunter asks. Who is my current favorite Stride Pro Wrestling wrestler? Well, Hunter, I work with these guys. They are, I would consider everyone in the Stride Pro Wrestling locker room a friend. You know, to pick a favorite is, it's like picking a favorite child. There are everyone on the roster puts in the time. They work hard. There's so much developing and growing talent coming through. I'm excited about the future for Stride Pro Wrestling, and I'm excited about what's happening right now in Stride Pro Wrestling. But to pick a favorite, I I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. And I really couldn't do it because there are different attributes that each man possesses that I deem, you know, awesome. So I'm not going to pick a favorite, but just know that many of them, you know, and I obviously have some friends in stride that I'm better or closer with than others. But yes, camaraderie, the brotherhood, the trust factor, lots of love from me to the members of the Stride Pro Wrestling roster for sure. And the fans, you know, without the fans coming out and supporting, we wouldn't be where we are today. And we'll have some announcements coming up over on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page about upcoming events. So we've been getting some questions. We're not quite ready to make the announcement just yet, but we will have some more events coming up. We've just come off of two very successful and fun events in Christopher, Illinois, just a week ago on Saturday. And then, of course, Stride Goes Steel in the Ville on May 26th. It was Memorial Day weekend, a huge crowd. Still buzzing and beaming over that. So big thanks to everyone who made those two events possible for us. Tom Skull, as I mentioned earlier, is the co-host of Skullbuster WrestleCast. He wants to know, do I think Jason Skull looks like Luther Reigns? And I'll be honest with you, I had never thought about it because I didn't really know. I'm friends with Tom on Facebook and I follow him on Instagram and Twitter, and we kind of interact from time to time. So I see Tom's posts and I know what he and his family and whatnot, I know what they look like. But with Jason, I'm not friends with him on Facebook, and I think his icon on Twitter is either their logo for their podcast or it's not a picture of him. So I didn't know what he looked like. But after seeing the picture, yes, I would say there is a resemblance there for sure. Now, I will tell you this, and when I say this, I don't want this to sound bad or coming off insulting, because when you listen to the radio, like when I was a kid and you would listen to DJs on the radio, you'd always kind of conjure up an image of what they look like, or at least I did. And I even still do that today, but of course now with social media, you kind of see everyone who's behind the scenes. So there's really no mystery anymore on what people look like. However, as I mentioned with Jason, just hearing his voice for the last year or so, because I think I've been listening to Skullbusters or the Skullbuster WrestleCast for probably not quite a year, but close to a year now. I always pictured Sean Marquette, who you may not know who Sean Marquette is by name. He is an actor who is on the show The Goldbergs, and I know that Tom listens or watches The Goldbergs, and he's probably laughing as he's listening to this. But Johnny Atkins, he kind of plays the bullyish guy who picks on Adam, and he has a rat tail and the glasses and the big black poofy hair. That's kind of what I pictured Jason to look like. And again, I know I'm laughing, and I don't mean that as an insult by any means. I like the Skullbuster WrestleCast, and I consider them friends of the show. They're those friends that I haven't met yet in person, but have connected with, I feel like, at least through the world of professional wrestling, which is a great bonder of many people in many ways. And that kind of takes me into the next question, which is from Jake Stubby J. Beaver. I believe he goes by Stubby on his podcast, which is known as the Ring Generals and Ring General Radio. Check it out. They do Battle Bowl every year, and that's actually I first heard of Battle Bowl and the Ring General Radio through Tom and Jason Skull. Jason is the reigning Battle Bowl champion. He knows his stuff, that is for sure, and I have nothing but respect for that. But this year, because of listening to the Skullbuster WrestleCast, I was able to connect with the Ring General Radio Show, and Chad and I are actually going to both be a part of this year's Battle Bowl. And Stubby asks what my thoughts are on this year's Battle Bowl Trivia Tournament. And I'll be honest with you, I've gone back and I've listened to a couple of past tournaments, and I listened to, I'm guessing it was one of the very first rounds. It was questions about lyrics from theme entrances. And I got one of them right listening to the two guys who were competing. I actually did better on the Total Divas questions than I would have done on the Total Divas and Cesaro were questions from a previous tournament, but I had no idea. Badass Billy Gunn, Mr. Ass was the only lyric that I got right, and it's just somebody reading the lyrics. So they pick different topics, and then you kind of go back and forth answering the question. So I am looking forward to being a part of it. I hope I make it past round one, but you know, I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself. I'm excited to be just to be able to be a part of this year's event. So it should be a good time. Dave Archer II wants to know, who would win in a match between Oz and Vinny Vegas? And Sam Banks commented on this and said the fans. Well, I disagree with that, Sam. Listen, I'm going to be quite honest. Never have I been a big fan of Kevin Nash. Now, that's not to say that I don't think that he deserves some respect for what he's done for the business and in the business. He's accomplished a lot. I've just never been a Kevin Nash, a Diesel, a Vinny Vegas, an Oz. He never really resonated with me. Who would win in this match? I did actually like kind of the presentation of Oz. Vinny Vegas was not much different, I don't think, look-wise at least, than Diesel. Of course, Vince McMahon and his team, they had the vision, and if you listen to Something to Wrestle With, you know that Shane McMahon actually kind of came up with the name Diesel for Kevin Nash. But there wasn't much of a look difference between Vinny and Diesel. So I think just as Vinny Vegas is about to get the win over Oz, all of a sudden Diesel comes in, jackknife power bombs both of them, causing a no contest. Sam wants to know, what failed gimmick disappointed me the most? His is the Kiss Demon, because he is a huge Kiss fan and really was hoping that they were going to, or he says, knowing the plan that was to eventually introduce all four Kiss members, he was really sad when the Demon failed and the entire concept was scrapped. I didn't realize they were supposed to add other Kiss elements to that gimmick, so that's interesting on that end. You know, I don't know if it would be considered a failed gimmick. I'm going to say it's a failed gimmick, and that is the narcissist Lex Luger. When he came in to WWF back then, he had left WCW, could not wrestle right away, I think partly because of a contract, but he was also involved in a motorcycle accident, and I believe that was all legit. Like, he was seriously injured in that crash. So he was going to originally be a part of Vince McMahon's WBF, World Bodybuilding Federation, and I think he might have done a little bit with that, but then at the 1993 Royal Rumble, Bobby Heenan unveiled the Narcissist, and it was Lex Luger, and he had the beautiful women in bikinis surrounding him with the mirrors, and he came out and flexed and posed. Perfect gimmick for Lex Luger. He had the look for it, he had the attitude for it, and I think fans really bought into that, and they maintained it for the first probably half of 2016, the first half of 1993, but then in July 4th, you know, aboard the USS Intrepid, Yokozuna issues that big challenge, nobody can body slam me, all these superstars, Crush and the Macho Man Randy Savage stick out to me. There were some football players, I think, that came out, and maybe some other, maybe baseball, hockey, I don't remember. There were other athletes that attempted to body slam Yokozuna, unable to do it. Then all of a sudden, Lex Luger, who's wearing the stars and stripes all of a sudden, comes in and is able to get the big man, the WWF champion at the time, off his feet and body slam him. And then they go into the Lex Express and the patriotism Lex Luger, which I thought did not fit him at all. Lex Luger was always a better heel. He was a perfect bad guy, and the Narcissist was the perfect gimmick for him. And I feel like they kind of dropped the ball on that with the Narcissist, you know, making that pivot and going with the All-American, because, you know, you will remember Hulk Hogan was the real American and, you know, the big deal. Even coming back for that brief period at King of the Ring, you know, WrestleMania 9 to King of the Ring, where he won the championship and then dropped it back to Yokozuna. And then it was going to become evident that he was not coming back. Bret Hart was not, I guess, in Vince's mind, the man to take on Yokozuna for the summer. So they wanted to create this new hero of sorts, and that's where Lex Luger came in. I would have much rather seen Luger stay as the narcissist, maybe have Bret Hart and Yokozuna feud throughout the summer. Bret Hart wins the championship back and then goes into a feud with the narcissist. I do think that, you know, I do enjoy the fact, and people, you know, for whatever reason, you know, hate on Lex Luger. I have always been a Lex Luger fan. I liked Lex Luger from day one. I did not, again, care for the gimmick change, and then he kind of got lost in the shuffle completely not much longer after that, after losing his bid to get the championship. You know, he beat Yoko by countout at SummerSlam, attempted to beat him at WrestleMania 10, and came up short winning, or he ended up getting disqualified because Mr. Perfect kind of screwed him. And then after that, he kind of started this spiral of sorts, falling down the card, picked up a tag team partnership with Davey Boy Smith, and then all of a sudden jumped ship and went back to WCW, which I think was better for him. I think WCW had a better vision and a better plan for Lex Luger than what Vince McMahon and the WWF at the time had for him. But nothing but love for Lex Luger. To get back to this failed gimmick, I think the narcissist could have had much more mileage and could have gone further and been a better gimmick. Because I don't really think Lex Luger embraced the Real American or the All-American or whatever the moniker was that they were giving him. It just did not fit him. He had that look, for sure, but he just, you know, he was the guy you wanted to see facing Yokozuna. But again, attitude and whatnot-wise, the narcissist was perfect for him. I wish they would have given that more time to develop and grow. And it really, in my 1-2-3 cents, could have been something much larger and much better than it was. There's plenty of other gimmicks out there that I would have liked to have seen. When I was a kid, I was disappointed that Outback Jack failed. You know, I was excited when he first cut those vignettes and you saw him on Superstars. And then he just kind of turned into a jobber with a gimmick, basically. My number one vote, though, would definitely go to the narcissist Lex Luger. I would have loved to have seen that grow and develop into something much bigger and better than it was. Well, friends, that is all the questions on this week's episode of Ask My 1-2-3 Cents. Again, let me and Chad know what you want to see on a future episode of Our Six Cents. We'll take a topic, break it down, and offer up our six favorite things about that. And also, I'm going to be working on some future episodes of Wrestling Under the Influence. So if you have a beer suggestion that you would like me to tackle, I will be doing that. I share a beer with a fellow wrestling fan. We analyze the beer and then tie it into a wrestling gimmick or wrestler from the past. That's been a fun segment also. I've only done two, but I've had a good time with both of them. And then Superfan, two episodes of Superfan have also dropped here. The Macho Man Randy Savage being the most recent one with my buddy Lane Austin. And then Barry Carafa from over in Southeast Missouri teamed up with me to do the very first episode of that. And that was on Rowdy Roddy Piper. So, super fan, Hulk Hogan is going to be coming up very, very soon as well. I've got a guy who is the ultimate Hulkamaniac. So I'll be talking to him in the near future as well. So let me know what else you want to see or here, I guess, more aptly, on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. Everyone, thanks so much for listening and being a part of the experience. Have a great week and be kind to one another.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.